Okay, buddy.
What's up, everybody? We're back again. Happy Tuesday, late Father's Day edition, episode 193 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. It's Kyle, Ben, and Nate. We took Father's Day off. We're ready to rock. We're going to be here today. We're going to be here Wednesday. We're going to be back Friday for a whole week of fun dissecting the U.S. Open, Live Tour defections, and everything that's going along with what's going on in the game of golf today. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. If you jumped on Matty Fitz, you probably could have won a ton of money. You probably could have won some money live betted him all weekend. I think there was some good value later on that you could have got with him using Bet Online. You could have used your coupon code Believe, got a 50% bonus. And then just stacked it up all weekend. Had a blast. It's not too late. Sign up today. You can still get that 50% bonus using coupon code Believe, BLEAV. Have a ton of fun. Bet Online. It's where the game starts. Gentlemen, great weekend. It's always great. It's Father's Day weekend. It's the U.S. Open every single year. You can't beat it. You throw in College World Series on top of it. What a great weekend. I hope y'all enjoyed it as much as I did. Matt Fitzpatrick, congratulations. Hit 17 out of 18 greens. Final round, possibly one of the greatest ball striking final rounds in U.S. Open history ever.
What did he miss? I can't even remember. I watched not his entire round, but I'm just trying to think of when he chipped.
I did, and I can't remember when he missed.
Maybe a bunker shot. Sure.
I don't remember. I don't remember.
17 out of 18.
17 and two of them were green under regulation. Two of them.
He told his caddy the day before, if I can hit 18 out of 18 greens, we win this.
Well, no,
he was wrong.
Well,
only had to hit 17 out of 18 to win it.
Also, but he only shot, what did he shoot? 3 under? Did he start around 3 or 4?
He's 2 under, wasn't he?
2, I think.
Two under. Yeah.
No, 4 under.
Yeah, he was in the last group. I mean, he was in the last group.
So he had to be, yeah.
So he hit 200. That's how tough those greens are. He hit 17.
Shot. We did have 2 3 putts.
Yeah. One of them was from like 17 feet.
I saw at one point in time on the back nine through like 5 or 6 holes, he had hit 80 feet of putts.
Yep. That was.
Now, a lot of that was in 140 footer, but yeah, he was absolutely lights out. We got to address something.
Hideki made 900 feet of putts.
Yeah.
And well, finished 2 over.
Yeah.
We got to address something really quick. Okay. Right off the top. If you listen to this show at all, like right when we started off, we started talking about, I think we did a whole show on what our favorite golf movies were. And Nate's just so happened to be the greatest game ever played. The greatest game ever played. Francis, we met the last amateur to win the U.S. Open or whatever, 1913. But Nate also said earlier last week that, hey, Brookline just doesn't have the history. Just does not have the history. I don't know what it is about Brookline. Does not have the history.
We met actually lives on the course at Brookline.
He did. He doesn't anymore because that was in 1918.
Well, because he's dead now.
But the house, they're showing it all week. The house is literally right across the street from the course.
It's the history.
Turns out there's quite a bit of history. The U.S.
You know, it's not just that, but Fitzpatrick actually won the amateur there, Nate. So there's a little history for you, just current events.
Didn't hear about that on the broadcast either.
I got to give it to Nate. I was not completely aware of the history of Brookline. And now that I do, I think that there's so many cool things about it, like bringing that par three back that hasn't been played for like 40 or 50 years, number 11. Like they didn't even use that green.
Yeah.
Like all the different things. I think it needs to be on rotation. I mean, to me, it packs the whole punch, the length, the firm greens, it's a tough one. It's a tough, tough course. And it the best players definitely rose to the top.
I liked that.
Nate, you want to defend yourself? Go ahead.
No, for just a moment.
How's he going to defend himself? No, there was a freaking movie made about the effing course.
And I'm going to see how many times they reference the course, because it's not like Caddyshack where you name the know the name of the course. Man, I forgot the course in Caddyshack. But let me just tell you that I know they played the U.S. Amateur there in 2013. But besides the U.S. Amateur, the last time a U.S. Open was played there was in 1980. And, newsflash, my parents hadn't even met in 1988. So why don't you give the young fella a break? Also, you guys didn't even catch it right when I said it because neither of you even realized.
We can't give you a break because you said there's hardly any history. That's the point of history.
Well, we didn't call him out, though. We had our chance. We could have called him out right there. And I honestly was a little bit insane.
He had me doubting myself.
I deserve a specific amount of shit. But
it doesn't exceed this.
This is not Pebble. This is not Bethpage. There was between the last US Open being played and me entering this world as an infant. So let's not get carried away. Yes, it's a great movie. Yes, it's my favorite movie. Yes, it is based on that story, but it looks nothing like that.
Nate, I will say this. I really think they really went outside the box in order to name the place.
Brooklyn.
The country club.
They call it the country club.
Just the country club.
Yep, yeah. The country club. That's because that's how you know you're badass.
If you just name yourself the something, you're good. I'm down. Hey, I'm down putting this in the rotation. I'm down every
I loved that golf course.
There was
you mentioned 11, Kyle. The funny part is about 11 is I think on the card it's at like 125. Being downhill, it played anywhere from depending on where the tees were, 100 yards to 122 yards, I think, is the furthest it played.
Yeah.
This past weekend.
It was like a
thing. They couldn't hit the damn green.
Couldn't hit it.
And I'm sitting there going, all these courses. Terrell Hatton had it. He said it. He said, quit making every par three 220, 240 yards. Trust me, we have enough trouble on short par threes.
Yeah.
That proved it this weekend.
Especially with a lot of slope, a lot of elevation change.
None of them hit anything worse than a gap wedge. Like nothing larger than a gap wedge all weekend. And they still missed the damn green.
Didn't Scotty Scheffler four putt it? Or at least three putted it on Sunday.
He three putted it. And then, that's the one that Fitzpatrick three putted.
Now, I will say, 12 feet. Another iconic U.S. Open track has a similar hole. Is it six at Pebble?
Yeah, Pebble.
And that doesn't play long, but you can get your absolute lunch eaten. So we don't have to make it 230 yards. We don't have to hit three wood on a par three. I would much rather have the shorter par three that wreaks havoc, and then is it number five, the drivable par four? Dude, that is great content. Yes. Excellent content.
If you don't have a drivable par four, what are you doing? Like, you're not even trying. And then you have a hole. Like, if you gave me 10 shots, if each one of us had 10 shots, do you think 10 tries, do you think any of us could par number 10? The 500 and like 13 or 20 yard par four over, they called it the Himalayas, right in the middle of the fairway. You had to bomb it forever and then go back uphill to a green that you can't see. I could be there all day. I could never par that hole.
Is it 270 yard carry? Is that correct?
No.
There's one of them over, that they said it.
Oh no, it Nate, if you remember this one, it goes out and then it goes around a bunker to the left and then it snakes around. It's got hills, like Kyle said, the Himalayas. Now here's the best part about that they kept showed the overhead views. There was a lake on the right and a lake beyond the green. And I'm sitting there going, bro, if you spray the second shot, it could get really bad. It could
forced carries out there is what would eat my lunch.
It could be
10 years, Benjamin.
No, it would. I said we had a text message thing, and I think there was a thing that came out. It said, if you started the tournament at -72, could you win the tournament? And Nate said it best. He said, it'd be tough to do the carries. And I said, yeah. I said, Kyle, out of the three of us, is probably the best. Of course, Nate made a point. He said, yeah, but you got it straight.
Exactly.
I was like, you know what? With me on the bag, he's hitting that sumbitch straight. I am coaching him up. But that hole in particular, bad. You got to take advantage of, like we were talking about, 11, the 110-yard par three. Hit the center of the green, two putt, and move on.
Yeah. I mean, there was just not a lot of
– guaranteed on any of those greens.
No, like maybe the five seemed like it was a fairly manageable hole. 17 seemed like a fairly manageable hole. It seemed like everybody kind of had a little wedge in. That green didn't seem too terrible.
Iron wedge.
But, yeah, overall, I was blown away. I thought the course was great, and it was another one – it was another course that you didn't have to have it so tight. Like for the most part, it was a pretty, pretty manageable fairways and things like that. I enjoyed it. I loved it. I hope it gets, I hope it got a bunch of love and gets to come back in the rotation.
I think it'll come back. I don't really know how they do that, but when you have a championship like we just had, that's a champion's championship. I think it'll come back.
Exactly.
Had to have been wildly popular, but it could have made it much better. And guaranteed it to stay in the rotation.
Shotgun start
is if NBC was worth a shit.
Oh my gosh.
The coverage was
disastrous.
It was unfortunate.
Saying that LIV Tour players are in it for a money grab when NBC took every friggin' waking moment to put something up there to advertise. And the funny part is a lot of times, I'll call them out. No laying up the half the time, they're doing nothing but promoing the USGA and PGA and Golf Channel. What are you doing?
Where's the revenue?
Shots.
No, it was bad. People sometimes are trying to find something to be upset about. It was really bad. They did the split screen thing way too much. There was way too many commercials. It was bad. It was very, very bad.
It was a ridiculous amount of extracurricular activities. I don't mind a little human interest story in the middle. I love Steve Sands reading the stuff with them in the Masters, but like we talked to Matt Fitzpatrick's brother 12 times, which the first time was cool. It's a cool story.
Yeah.
For 11 were a little outrageous. The FaceTime with Tom Watson was just an absolute disaster. Dumpster fire.
Tom Watson's so into this that he's FaceTiming instead of watching the damn tournament or even being at the tournament.
We're sitting in Tom Watson's
wake up from the nap. We got to go ahead and do a FaceTime on television and kill a bunch of time so these guys can't watch golf.
I love the Francis We Met thing. It is super cool. And the Matt Fitzpatrick, the U.S. amateur, there was a good connection there. But good gracious, we wore it out. And you know what we did? Played golf.
You know the funny part about that is, Nate, and it made a good point. My sister's the one that pointed this out to me. The fact that it was in Boston, Massachusetts, and they didn't hardly do any history on Boston, they just did nothing but focus on themselves. Like they could have easily, if they're going to do feature stories, they could have done like of golf in the Boston
Tom Brady
area and didn't.
Playing golf.
Yeah.
Let's just do a feature on Tom Brady being on the
hell, at least the fans would have watched it because they would have been entourage. Tom Brady. So they'd have been like, yep, I like it. Tom.
At one point, they're like, oh, yeah, well, I guess you heard that roar Scheffler made birdie, and we're going to show it to you now. What?
Yeah, and they had to do that.
They flashed the score up.
Yeah, and they had to do that because they're showing commercials and missing time to switch back and forth to everybody and all that. So, like, they have to come back and show you a shot, and you already know what's going to happen because that dude should have already hit 5 minutes ago when the commercial break started. So, like, it spoiled a lot. It was NBC, not a good job.
The split screen thing is atrocious. You got to be 10 feet away from the TV.
Yeah. The best example I can give is Friday I texted you guys, and we already had the show done for Friday. I texted you guys on Friday. Kyle was out of town. Nate was busy working as well. And I texted you guys, and I said, and this is before Kyle had his breakdown on Saturday. I was like, you got Colin and Rom playing on Friday, and I saw three friggin' shots out of their entire round. And yeah. I'm like, what the hell is going on? These guys are up at the top of the leaderboard, and I can't watch them play golf.
It was just bad all around. Yeah, it wasn't really dedicated to one player. It was just they're just kind of all over the place. All didn't really paint the good picture of the how the round was going. It was just kind of shots for shots all over the place.
So. Nate put it best because Nate said, because I said that somebody, the USGA tweeted back at No Laying Up and said, hey, by the way, the final hour will be commercial free. And so I was like, hey, you got that going for you, Nate. And Nate was like, and you that's the best thing you could have said right there is what you texted back to us is you said, oh, that's awesome. So we get to watch the last 2.5 holes, which we don't get to see any of the other golfers finish out. We just get to basically watch the last two groups play. And that's fine. It's a major. I get it. The last two groups is probably where it's at. But there's a lot of other guys that were making pushes at the end that we couldn't see them because they didn't show them.
Right.
Exactly.
If you want the blueprint, you can head on over to a little golf tournament that started not too long ago down in South Georgia. TV coverage is what any sports event in the entire world should mirror their coverage after. I mean,
1,000%.
Just
and can we just get a permanent deal with CBS? Like, can we just get a permanent deal with CBS and just say CBS does golf? Can we just do that? Because they do the best. They're the best.
They do.
I mean, have you guys coverage. Ever gotten a situation watching the Masters where you got to pee and you can't leave? It's not healthy for your bladder the way they do that.
They're you know? So good at There's it.
No look, commercial breaks. Look. Like, when are you going to go wee-wee?
A little DVR deal. You just hit a little pause button.
I mean, I'm pounding. Well,
then you're behind.
I'm pounding blue moons.
Well, that's what I had to text you guys. I said, quit giving it away, Nate. I gotta watch the rest of it.
Yeah. So let's hit a few more storylines. Wow, yep. Will Zalatoris, another second place finish at a major. At this point in time, are you looking at it like he can't get it done or he's about to explode? Like how do you look at Will Zalatoris right now?
I think I'm in both of those. I don't think that it's a he can't get it done type deal right now. He's too young in his career. Like, I don't think he was supposed to be where he is right now.
No.
And the fact that he's finished second, and I saw this thing the other day, and I actually brought this up, is he has played in 9 majors. He has got 6 top 10 finishes, 3 runners up.
Wow.
And I'm sitting there going, quit calling him a choke artist. Like, you're talking about, what was it, Phil, before he's in his 40s, before he started winning?
But he's not choking him away. He's grinding his ass. Who beat him at the Masters? Was that, it wasn't Tiger, was it?
No, it was
Matsuyama, right?
Yeah, Matsuyama.
But he was chasing Matsuyama the whole day. I mean, at PGA Championship, he gets in a playoff, plays his ass off, gets in a playoff.
Yeah.
Just ran into a buzzsaw of Justin Thomas, one of the greatest golfers on the planet.
Yeah.
Right. This week, runs into an ass. Stumbled out of the gate, plays his ass off on the back nine. So, I mean, this is not like Rory at the Masters where he's just like melting down. I mean, literally, Zalatoris is half an inch away from going back-to-back playoffs in major championships. So,
which would have been just outrageous. Outrageous. And he had the putt, like – the putt, I mean, did y'all think – I thought the putt he had
– I thought it was poured.
I thought he poured it the whole way.
I thought he did. I think he thought he did. I think he thought it was – I think he thought it was panties, and it just – it stayed out left. So, I mean, I hate it for him because I like the guy. I think he's – everybody talks about his putting stroke and talks about his – I don't think he has nerves, man. I think that everything about that is natural for him. I think that it comes not easy.
Naturally unnatural.
Yeah, it's naturally unnatural. I mean, Kyle, you've made fun of me before. It looks like I slice a putt. But, I mean, whatever works for you. Like, don't change it. Like, if it goes where you want it to go, just keep frigging doing it. And, like, Nate, people make fun of mine and your swings, how violent they are. But you know what? You and I know where the ball's going. I mean, that's not –
more often than not, sometimes.
Yeah, and I'm not comparing that to, like, a major, but – the fact that people are like always choking, I'm like, are you kidding me? The kid's like 24 years old and he's got he's got 6 top tens and 3 runners up. Bro, that's
money.
Good for him.
Exactly.
That's money. I'm with y'all. Bank.
I'm with y'all. I say he's about to explode. He's about to explode and he could go on a little run.
Something else.
Kyle, he's another one, Kyle, that I don't think he's going live, but he's another one that really focuses on the majors and not other tournaments.
Yeah. That's the big importance for him.
That could be something down the road to look at if this live thing plays out, DP World Tour thing plays out, them getting together, blah, blah, blah.
Yep, somebody we'll talk about that in just a little bit too.
Somebody like him could be somebody that jumps on that train because he's
a major guy. How much money got thrown at Fitzpatrick to join the Live Tour after today, after Sunday?
Oh, golly.
Phil money? Or
yeah, no, but Dustin that dumb close.
100 mil, maybe? To be
I
able
think
to say.
I think it's DJ money. I think it's 125 mil. Easy. Yeah.
Can you imagine? Fitzpatrick's like not even 30 yet.
That's crazy.
He's still in braces. You see that? He has braces on.
He's still in clear braces. He got his clear braces. Something else is about to explode is Blue Tees Golf. Blue Tees rangefinders are just absolutely amazing. And the price is amazing. There's no need to pay $600 anymore for a rangefinder. Use coupon code DADBOD, take 10% more off and save even more on your rangefinder.
If you missed out on your Father's Day gift, you can still send it to your wife, get you another gift, a birthday gift or something down the road. Blue Tees Golf, they still have the Bluetooth speaker bundle. Ben's got that on the way. I'm anxious to see
on the way, and I want to throw Kyle under the bus because Kyle went to the beach this weekend, and I said, hey, can you go ahead and get back because I need to get that Blue Tees, if you don't mind, whenever you get back. He's like, not going to be back in time, bub. Played today without the Blue Tees.
Big bummer there. And
I could have probably been mid-70s. Instead, I ended up shooting an 80 today. Thanks, Kyle, for that. Thanks.
I'll take the blame. I'll take the blame. Because if you had that scan mode going, you'd have been
– no doubt.
Had the numbers dialed in. Yeah, yep. Check those guys out. Blue Tees, we've already sold, quite a few of them. So they're flying out. They're popular. So check them out, bluetees.com.
By the way, Nate, you're going to appreciate this. My pink one is on the way. I got a pink coming in.
Are your speakers going to be pink too?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Everything is of a pink shade. I love it.
How about that?
Completely. A little 4D scan of my daughter yesterday.
Yeah.
Let me tell you who looks just like daddy, and that's my daughter. We looked at the pictures, and I got my mom to send some baby pics, and I sent them to Kat, and she's like, oh, yeah, that's it. Your kid.
Definitely your kid. I love it. 4D scans are interesting. We didn't do it, but I kind of wish we would have. So,
we couldn't because we were too poor. Thanks.
It's a good thing you know what your kids look like now. You know, it's kind of cool.
It is.
You can go 4D right now if you want to go downstairs and just hold your kid's face.
Yep. Spoiler alert. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing. Go ahead.
You kind of figured out in the end there, Nate.
Yeah. You'll see it. You'll see her eventually. So another thing, obviously, Scotty Scheffler. He, if he doesn't three putt the 120 yard par three, he's 6 under and in a playoff. But that's part of it. If he makes a short birdie putt on, was it 16 or I think he had a short, I say short, he had a inside 12 foot birdie putt up the hill. And
was it not both 16 and 17? Was it not 16 and 17?
17s was a little bit longer, but 16s was the one that was like, I feel like just dead up the hill, and he just didn't hit it. But one shot back, he put himself in it, and he just could didn't close it out, but played great golf.
He continues.
Go ahead,
Kyle. He continues to like show how awkwardly you can stay in a golf tournament because he didn't play great round one. He didn't play great round two. And he played decent round three. And then in round four, he still was right there at the top. And it was one of those things. Actually, he had a really good round three. But when he got into the final round, it was kind of like at the end, you still thought, shit, he still got a chance.
Yeah.
Like this guy's got a chance.
I would have lied bet. If I wasn't preoccupied, I would have lied bet it.
Yeah. He still got a chance. And yeah. I did think it was very cool. I'd forgotten he and Zalatoris played in the quote unquote Dallas circuit when they were growing up because they're about the same age. And before the round started, they gave each other a fist bump on the green, good luck thing and that kind of thing. And I thought, well, that'd be pretty neat if both of them. I even said, I told my wife, I was like, be pretty cool if they went to a playoff. But damn it, they almost did.
Almost did. It's almost three ways.
I was really hoping for a three-way playoff. But Scheffler, so earlier after I think it was the last win he had, Ben and I, you were gone, Nate. We set the line for numbers of wins for the rest of the year at 1.5. I have the over. I took the over.
For Jeff Dog?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel like that number?
Do you feel attainable? Feel
about that number?
1.5 wins the rest of the season. So he's got to win two more times?
He's got to win twice.
You got to count. You got to think this before you start off, though. You got to think the tour championship is pretty much in the bag because his points are so unattainable. He is over 1,000. He's like 1,500 points in the lead in the FedEx Cup. So, like, it's essentially he's going to start off with a big lead in the tour championship.
And we're counting that. Like, that's one of his wins. Like, winning the tour championship is like winning a tournament. So, basically, he's got to win one tournament and not finish last.
And then another tournament where he's going to have some weird, dumbass stroke advantage.
It's dumb, but it still counts as a win.
I mean, I was just looking at the money list actually, literally on this podcast, and I will agree. He has 12.2. The next closest guy has 7.1. He has 12.9. Excuse me. So he's damn sure close to doubling the previous guy's money. I didn't look at FedEx Cup points. That's just that. If he does it, it's going to be a ridiculously historical season. Like, it's a historical season if he hangs up the clubs and doesn't tee it up again until the tournament of champions with the Dolphins. But there great is just there. The I don't. I, maybe tournament. Maybe it's recency bias, and I don't remember years ago. But there are like 15 guys that I think you could make the case that are like one of the best golfers in the world at this moment. Like Sam Burns should be considered with everybody else as the best golfer on the planet today. Matthew Fitzpatrick, Will Zalatoris, Scottie Scheffler. You know, you can go down the line. Justin Thomas, Cameron Smith. All of these guys, you can make a case.
Wait a second.
You want to look at the money list? You want to look at the money list? $7 million this year. I don't want to hear about this bulldog shit from you guys. I'm sick of it.
He didn't make the cut. That was your pick. You know what? You can't throw him in there. Don't do that.
You're so right because, you know what? Being third on the money list with $7.1 million, only being beat by Rory, who's a bitch, and Scottie Scheffler, who's a legend. Yeah, he must suck. Give me that stuff, dude. Just because the announcer says he's a bulldog, ain't got nothing to do with my Aussie legend.
You know what? Nate tried to shimmy that one in on us.
I'm Brookline, but don't touch my boy.
You know what he did, Nate?
Okay.
He went fishing early. That's what he did.
He did. It was a little too cold to fish.
Took us $7 million back to Palm Springs and probably threw a party.
Do you tell you what a pointless stat is that I keep seeing get thrown around? Scottie Scheffler has officially won more money on tour in one season than anyone ever. Okay, well, like, the money is way higher now. Tiger won 8 in a year. Like, if you just counted inflation or whatever. He's played great, and obviously that's a ton of money, but that's kind of a weird stat that everybody's throwing out there like, oh, it's so amazing.
You know the way to trump that stat whenever they say that?
How's that?
They say, you know what? He's wearing Tiger shoes.
Oh.
Be like, or like, I'll come up with some Michael random George. Stat be like, well, he's won like, you know, 30 cents per step he's taken on the golf course. And that's
Michael Jordan used to say that all the time. Michael Jordan, people would be like, who's the best, Michael Jordan or Kobe? Michael would be like, well, he's wearing my shoes.
Bingo.
Tell me.
I'd wear Scheffler lights.
I would wear whatever
Scheffler. It would probably look like so lame though. Like, he's just,
if you wore what was in his bag, it'd be a plethora of different clubs.
I'm gonna change this up just a little bit. I was in a wedding this weekend. So I'm watching Saturday while we're hanging out, getting ready, watching with all the groomsmen. Most of these guys are very, very, very casual golfers. And I made the comment about Adam Scott. I was like, dude, it's just crazy that this guy is so hot and dresses so poorly. And no matter how poorly he dresses, he's still hot.
Oh, the Adam Scott thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And one guy looks at me and he's like, dude, it's just kind of weird that you would say that out loud. But, you know, I was like, you should listen to my podcast.
He did the taupe thing one day, and
dude, I'm so sick of it. Like, I don't care what you do, just change it. Like, just just have your sweater, your shirt, and your pants all three be a different color.
So when we were texting.
Real quick, man. You could keep the same lineup. Just put like different shirts on different days and pants on different days. And like, you'd be straight. Like,
dude, I tell you what, you don't have to go crazy. I want Adam Scott in gray pants and a navy polo, and I will lose my everlasting mind with how hot he was. But he can't do it.
I'd said, because we were texting about that. Was it Saturday, Nate? We were texting about that.
You did narrow all 3 days.
Pretty much every single time I see Adam Scott on TV, I text you about it.
Yeah, but it was when we were texting. And the thing is I pause it, and he's up on the screen, and I look at Lori, and I always call it the wife test. And I said, "That guy, what do you think?" And she goes, "Oh, that's the Scott guy." And I said, "Yeah." And she goes, "Oh yeah, he's hot." And I said, "Look at what he's wearing." I was like, he looks like a character out of Blue's Clues. Like, he is completely all one color. And she's like, "I don't think you understand. He's still hot." So I'm like,
that's his hot factor. And hey, let me just say something. Look at my shirt right now.
I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. I mean, I'm like, honey, dressed to the nines.
Ben's like, "Well, I guess I'll just start wearing prison clothes around the house." Yeah, and get my wife.
I'll just do nothing but do it. I'm going to get a sponsor from Dickies and just walk around the house and nothing.
Dickies.
Black.
I made that joke.
That's a Nate joke. That was a good one.
Hey, let me just say real quick, speaking of hot, going the opposite of hot, I love the we didn't really talk about the temperature, but I love these guys in pullovers. I love watching these guys in pullovers.
Where is Massachusetts? They look so good. Is Massachusetts just north of Canada? Like, I mean, how is it cold? It's like 120 degrees down here. It's not that far away, is it?
Massachusetts is pretty far up there.
Is it? Okay.
I will say this about the whole being cold too. These guys layering.
Maybe I don't know the historical significance, but I know it is. And here we have Kyle failing geography again.
I'm being somewhat sarcastic, if you can't tell.
But you're also being honest at the same time.
it just doesn't seem like it should be that cold.
Here's my thing with these guys. JT, let's wear something a little more loose, man. I will give Colin Markow one thing. He wore something that was a little more loose, a little more fitting, a little more looked like you had a little comfort in it.
JT is 150 pounds. Like everything he wears,
doesn't mean you have to wear it tight.
He's got to wear baby smalls. He has to.
But Zalatoris, like, they don't make sure it's small enough for him. Like, everything he wears looks like he should go
and FootJoy down. Like, and FootJoy fits.
Nate, you're the closest to Zalatoris out of all of us.
Okay, but that's like saying that Kyle is the closest to DeChambeau in distance out of all of us. Like,
there's a huge gap.
I'm pretty sure Zalatoris is like 33 soaking wet. If I was 33 soaking wet, I would look like I just came out.
I just don't understand why they wear their clothes so tight. Like, that can't be comfortable to swing. We play golf. That's not comfortable to swing in.
No, I don't know.
Maybe when you're ripped.
When you wear the stuff they wear, it just feels like you're not wearing anything. The Grayson sponsor that JT has, everything that JT wears, I want to wear. It looks just so amazing. So amazing.
Yeah. Way better than Polo.
All right. Suck it, Polo. All right. Moving on. The Wolf is cooler.
The Wolf is cool. I will say that. The Wolf is cool on his like emblem.
They uncomfortably wanted Rory to win. So bad.
They uncomfortably wanted Rory to be a part of everything involved so bad.
Yeah, that was
– you know, they made a big deal out of him congratulating Fitzpatrick after the win, and I'm like, bro, that shit has been going on for the last 15 years.
John Rahm sat out by the green to watch Phil Mickelson, wait for other people all the time. Like, that happens every single major.
Look at Rory. He waited on Fitzpatrick. I'm like, yeah, he's the only one. The rest of the guys have like six guys waiting on him.
Yeah. Like, it's everybody. Everybody wait. I mean,
he's just a dude with braces. He has no friends.
Oh my gosh. No, I mean, like, the
can't say that. I actually like Fitz. I like Fitzpatrick.
I love him.
I like him.
And I like Rory, but they're this whole live tour thing and like this, we've got to make Rory the savior and him being so out there about it. Like it's starting to make me not like him.
Why is he the face of the PGA Tour?
That's a good question.
Why is it not Scheffler? You know why? Because Scheffler doesn't talk.
But Rory,
Scheffler doesn't speak.
When Rory talks, he doesn't say anything of significance because no all he's like, yeah.
He says things that are inflammatory, and so does JT. Both of them have incredibly strong opinions.
Yeah, but that's
Scheffler has won almost twice as much money as Rory. And if you heard Scheffler say like anything? Like anything besides, like, I can't wait to play Scrabble with my wife tonight.
That makes it even more obvious, Nate, that's the thing is they're like forcing him to do it and he's buying in.
I think so too. And I think it's the thing
is
we need you to go fight for us, Rory.
And
we need you to go fight for us, JT.
They keep saying, well, the Live Tour is going to make you do this and make you do that. Well, hell, you guys are making Rory do this and do that. I mean, it is almost uncomfortable to this point, the way he is being forced to be sent out to be the savior of the PGA Tour when we've said on this pod numerous times, why are you even acknowledging it? Just play your game. Be pro golf. Don't be pro live. Don't be pro PGA. Just be pro golf, man. Yep.
Just be pro golf and then just move on because the media is going to just fall all over themselves. The fans don't care. They're going to cheer for Phil. They're going to cheer for Dustin. They're going to cheer for – because the fans ultimately are ultimately all that matters. Speaking of Liv, let's talk a little bit of Liv really quick. The Liv guys did not perform that great, depending on who you want to call a Liv tour guy right now. And then, whatever happens unfolds this week and over the next coming weeks. Does that matter? Do you think that really matters in the grand scheme of things? Does that hurt them a little bit? What do you think about that?
I just think they're too young. They're very bottom heavy. The Live Tour is very bottom heavy. Like there's like a couple of decent names, and then there's these mid tier, the Westwoods and the Schwartzels. No names. Just give them another 2 months to fill this tour out, and then see what happens.
I agree. I think it's still too early to tell.
Do we come and be like, oh, the DP World Tour had a rough showing at the U.S. Open? No, we don't. We don't do that. Shit like that.
No, or the Asian Tour or the Latin American Tour or, the
I mean, granted, they did have a good the showing because I think Fitzy plays the DP World Tour, but.
But even the guys that are like, I think we're way too early to start saying compare this. You know what? If you want to compare it, then as we said, line it up, come next April, let's have us a one-on-one tournament, let's have us a Live versus PGA. If you think you're that superior, put your balls in hand and sit there and hand them out.
Or
say,
in their mouth.
Or
oh, and beat them.
It's a bit much. It's a bit much. Just settle down.
Sorry.
Also, playing like as bad as he did, like not just missing the cut, but like, scare in last place was a bad look for Phil.
I don't think it was though, Nate. He hadn't played in over a friggin' year.
That's part of the problem. Is it that like is. That's like
no, it's not. You, it's not.
Now you've that's, lost your edge.
You saying that?
No.
Totally
different.
No, you're using scenarios. You're using hurt versus not being in there. I'm saying just take all that out and just be like, he's taking this amount of time off. Tiger's taking this amount of time off. That's why they're not being able to compete.
Absolutely.
I don't think that's the same. He just put
worst thing for to come out of your mouth.
I don't think that's
Phil really is 100% capable of continuing to practice, continuing to play.
He played in a tournament, like a tournament. I mean, call it whatever.
Yes, he took time off and I think it showed, but like also like I think it showed that like Phil just kind of gave up on life for a couple of months. Like he looks like doo-doo. He played like doo-doo. And everybody's starting to figure out that he's a doo-doo guy.
I disagree. And the reason I disagree is because even Tiger has said, no matter how much he's able to practice, how much he's able to get out on the course, it all comes down to being able to play in tournaments and have that one-on-one and having that that tournament atmosphere. So,
why did he not play in anything before this?
Who?
Phil.
Phil. Is he serving as a suspension?
Because he was told not to. PGA Tour was telling him not to.
The PGA Championship didn't tell him not to. They said, we invited his ass.
No.
PGA Championship said, we invited him. He said, no.
At one point in time, the PGA Tour said, we've never suspended anybody. Well, you know what? He and Bryson ain't friggin' playing.
Bryson had a cut on his hand, though. So that's
and they're capable of play. This is pre-cut, by the way.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. And so we don't feel like it's a big deal yet. We kind of expect some big names to kind of pop to go to the LIV Tour. Abraham Answer's already in, number 20 player in the world, already announced he's going to the LIV Tour.
One of the best putters in the world.
Does that, I mean, he is number 20 in the world. Does that move the needle a little bit more? I think it does.
He legit is like top five putter in the world. So, I mean, that's the one thing that everybody hangs their hat on. He's the guy that they put out there to go against Tiger, Abraham Answer.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to happen. They've already talked about, we've got a multiple four-time major winner. I mean, that's Brooks.
Morikawa. Yeah. There are a few other names.
I will say,
Kyle said it best, and not for nothing, because they're going to miss at some point in time. But as of now, the rumors, they've not missed on any rumor.
Harold Varner, apparently Michael Jordan shut that down.
Yeah, but that's the thing, that they missed that, but that was outside was gonna sports happen, talking though. Him out of it. Yeah,
it was going to happen though. Jordan's apparently shut that down.
I mean,
and he wears MJ stuff. MJ Liv was like, you know what? You go. I ain't sponsoring you anymore.
That shows you something, because Liv can definitely outpay Michael, but I think Varner and Michael have this pretty good relationship where, like, sure. Michael's like, hey, you're, for all intents and purposes, you're the only black guy on tour, and I got you, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm with you there.
Got his shoes. He's got his shirts. You got the hats. I mean, why not? I mean, it's hard to turn. If I ask the two of you, if Michael Jordan comes to two of you and goes, if Michael Jordan comes to two of you and is like, I need you to do this, I'm going to sponsor you. Y'all do it, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't say no to Michael. You can't.
And I'm sure he gets very well taken care of.
Oh, yeah. Very, very well. Very, very well.
Super well taken.
Cool. So we'll be talking, I'm sure, LIV Tour all week. The U.S. Open on Father's Day was absolutely amazing. I want to talk about on Wednesday. I want to kind of tease a little bit. Nate had we're going to have some scenarios, but we want to dive a little bit into the LIV Tour and discuss. They're really falling on the backs of this Saudi deal, the Saudi government, blah, 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 blah. What if this was just like Bill Gates? What if this was Damon John, or what if this was just some billionaire, like somebody that had one of these rich
Jeff Bezos?
What if it was somebody like this that started this tour? Would we be falling on it? Would we still feel the same? Would we be falling back on how would it look then? I want to really dive into that. So y'all stay tuned for that. Check out one thing before we leave. You got to check out Liquid IV. I was on the beach all weekend. If you're on the beach, you're probably partaking in some adult beverages.
You look good, by the way.
If you don't watch out, that heat and those adult beverages will absolutely get you parched, and you'll be in trouble. You go ahead, pop your little Liquid IV packet in some water, and it gets you right back in the game. Like, you're right back. You're restored. You're rejuvenated. You're refreshed. I drink one just about every morning when I wake up, and you know, at least one more throughout the day when I get a little dehydrated.
Little recuperation there.
Yeah, exactly. Love them. Use coupon code DadBodGolfPod. I get where you're going. It's definitely not for that. DadBodGolfPod, and take 25% off and free shipping.
Refresh the loins.
25% off. Refresh your loins with Liquid IV. 25% off and free shipping.
Salty.
Tons of options for flavors. Some are salty, some aren't. Some are sweet.
Eat more pineapple.
You can set it up to be recurring, so you don't have to go to the store. You don't have to worry about it. It just shows up at your door.
Unlike other things.
Unlike you're going off the rails. Liquid IV, check them out. You're gonna love it. I promise. Fellas,
appreciate if you want to perform like Kyle performs, Liquid IV.
If you want to have to be refreshed in the AM, use Liquid IV.
Attaboy. Yeah, right. You're so my hero. I love you. All right,
let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. Since this is a Tuesday show, we'll talk to y'all again. We'll be back tomorrow. So stay tuned for tomorrow's show. It's gonna be a blast. The golf stuff right now is unbeatable. Can't beat it. So
it's wild. Love it.
Check us out. Watch us on YouTube. Have a blast tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Stop. Bye, golf pod.
All right, talking.
Bye, talking.
Always struggling.